The Senate is called to order. We will start the session with a prayer by Reverend Gawk.
From the 139th Psalm we hear, "You trace my journeys and my resting places and are acquainted with all my ways." Gracious God, we give you thanks for our safe travel here and knowing you as our God. We rejoice in remembering Martin Luther King's day and for all he tried to teach us and help many of us to be more tolerant and understanding the differences between people. As we begin a new week, we are mindful of our responsibilities and seek your help to do what you expect of us. So grant us wisdom, Lord, and your guidance to know what we must be about. In your holy name we pray. Amen.
Please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thanks, Reverend. Good to see you. Thanks.
Madam Secretary, please call the roll.
Senators Arthur, Bean, Beck, Bernsketter, Bratton, Brown, Burleson, Searpoy, Crawford, Igel, Esslinger, Gannon, Higeman, Hoskins, Huff, Koenig, Lugtemeyer, May, Moon, Mosley, O'Loughlin, Onder, Razor, Rader, Riddle, Rizzo, Roberts, Rowden, Schatz, Shoup, Washington, White, Whelan, Williams.
A quorum being present, the Senate is now in session. Madam Secretary, please read the journal.
Journal of the Senate, first regular session, sixth day, Thursday, January 14th, 2021.
Senator from Boone.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that further reading of the journal be dispensed with and the same be approved as though having been fully read.
The Senator from Boone has moved that further reading of the journal be dispensed with and the same approved as having been fully read. Does any senator desire to be heard? The Senator from Boone is recognized to close.
Thank you, Mr. President. I close.
Those of you of the opinion that the motion shall prevail say aye.
Aye.
Those of the contrary say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. Senator from Lawrence, for what purpose do you rise?
Mr. President, may I inquire of the Senator from the 31st?
Senator from the 31st, do you yield? Proceed, Senator.
Thank you, Mr. President. Good afternoon, Senator.
Good afternoon, Senator. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you. I know that we've been kind of privy to some conversation we had with regard to the acoustics in the room. And when we met last, I stood to mention my difficulty in understanding what other senators were saying. And I commented that I'd listen to the audio in order to learn whether or not the recording would provide a clear representation of what was said, and I did listen. And I was tickled that it did provide audio which I could understand. The senator from St. Louis said some things that I believe need to be addressed. Insurrection at the nation's capital, nothing being done at the state capital or state level to protect our democracy. Does anyone remember 4 years ago when the current president was inaugurated? Madonna stated that she wanted to blow up the White House. But of course, she said her comments were taken out of context. Insurrection? The definition that I'm aware of, that's an act or rebellion against a civil authority. I pulled up this article from Reuters, January 20th, 2017, and talks about violence flares in Washington due to Trump inauguration. It reads here, black-clad activists among hundreds of demonstrators protesting Donald Trump's swearing-in on Friday clashed with police a few blocks from the White House in an outburst of violence rare for an inauguration. The article continues, activists in black clothes and masks threw rocks and bottles at officers. These are police officers. A protester hurled an object through the passenger window of a police van. As demonstrators cheered, activists used chunks of pavement and baseball bats to shatter windows of a Bank of America branch and a McDonald's outlet. Multiple vehicles were set on fire, including a black limousine. People dragged garbage cans into the street a few blocks from the White House and set them ablaze. This article is filled with examples such as this. And that was
in 2017, correct, of the past inauguration?
4 years ago.
4 years ago.
And those things don't happen, apparently. But this is setting a new precedent, it appears. So I want to mention that some other things that were mentioned. America is a constitutional republic, according to Article 4, Section 4, or Clause 4 of the U.S. Constitution. Now, other than the displeasure of knowing that some areas in Missouri made use of Dominion election machines, it is believed that we had a fair election. If the reference was referring to Michigan, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, Georgia, Arizona, and Nevada, the news may not have reached the 4th Senatorial District. There have been numerous allegations of fraud in these states. Election laws were changed without the involvement of the legislature. Perhaps we should be reminded that only the legislature is authorized to make law. Governors are not authorized to make law, even by executive order. Courts are not authorized to make law as a result of an opinion or ruling. The senator from St. Louis stated that members of our own party put out literature, incited riots in an attempt to overturn a fair election, and I was left scratching my head. I suppose the senator meant to say that members of our own General Assembly put out literature and incited riots in an attempt to overturn a fair election. If the latter is the case, I beg to differ. The senator from the 4th went on to say that the President of the United States incited a riot. If urging Americans to spend their own hard-earned money to travel to Washington, D.C. to show support for him is tantamount to inciting a riot, then perhaps he's guilty. If sending out a message urging the tens of thousands who traveled to Washington, D.C. to follow the instructions of law enforcement, then I reckon he's guilty. An insurrection, otherwise known as a rebellion, is not what was reported by those on the scene. I knew of several who attended the rally in D.C. on January 6th, and according to the reports I heard, it was a peaceful and friendly engagement, except for one male who repeatedly called for the crowd to rush through Capitol. According to my friend's report, this male became an irritant, and they wanted him just to go away. A reference was made to insinuate that anyone who was at the rally or supported the objection to the Electoral College votes was, in essence, an instigator, perhaps even complicit in inciting a riot. Well, I sent a letter to Missouri's federal delegation, and here's the content of my letter. Allegations of fraud related to mail-in ballots, the obstruction of poll watchers, the manipulation of electronic voting machines and potential foreign influence in the November 2020 general election demand that further steps be taken to investigate the claims. And while I understand the sensitivity of any action or inaction related to the part you play in the events listed above, as a representative of the great state of Missouri, it is incumbent upon you to raise a voice for your constituents. We all want to have certainty that our elections are fair, legal, and without corruption. Today, there's no certainty that a fair, legal, and honest election was conducted. For example, forensic audit results in Michigan showed that the electronic system used was intentionally and purposely designed with inherent errors to create systemic fraud to influence election results. The failure rate was approximately 68%. Now get this.
Astounding.
The Federal Elections Commission allows for a maximum error rate of 0.0008%. This was way out of bounds according to their standards. The error rate allowed by Michigan is approximately 1 million times more than allowed by the federal law. This allowance is and was intentional and must be investigated. Pennsylvania reportedly sent out 1.5 million mail-in ballots. At least 2.5 million mail-in ballots were received, and this must be challenged. Many witnesses have signed sworn affidavits alleging fraudulent acts related to the November 2020 election, and these allegations must be examined. In Georgia's State Farm Arena, after election officials were told to leave the county area, video shows hidden cases of ballots being removed from underneath the tables. These ballots were allegedly counted without proper oversight. The allegations must be looked into in light of the unusual circumstances. Governors and secretaries of state of a number of the several states arbitrarily changed state laws related to elections within their state without the involvement of the state legislature, all a violation of state law and as a result a violation of the U.S. Constitution. I went on to say in this letter, you've been elected to represent the people of in your district. Now is the time not to be silent. Stand up, take action, and don't quit until a resolution has been reached. Each of the six states, Arizona, Georgia, Michigan, Nevada, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin, in which allegations of illegal voting took place, could have, through their respective legislatures, rejected the election result and assigned Republican presidential electors, yet this did not happen. It matters not the winner of the presidential election is your choice. The most important factor is the outcome is arrived in a fair manner. At present, multiple allegations of wrongdoing have not been fully investigated. Of course, you understand you have full authority to challenge the Electoral College votes. You must not depend upon another to take the lead. If no other voices object, then you must do so. This is what you're asked to do. Raise an objection to the acceptance of the electoral votes from Arizona, Georgia, Michigan, Nevada, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin on January 6, 2021, as they are presented. Join with other House and Senate members to ensure that the multiple allegations are fully and completely investigated and the perpetrators are brought to justice. Just as Queen Esther was placed in a position of authority in ancient days, you are now in that place. Missouri voters are depending upon you to act. Please, exercise your authority as an elected official. Challenge the electoral votes as they are tabulated on January 6, 2021. So, Senator, if that letter is considered adding fuel to the fire, then I'm guilty as charged. The Senator from the 9th wisely stated that our state should guarantee that we have fair elections and ensure that Missourians are protected and that we should speak up for our constituents in a peaceful manner. I think we will all agree with that statement. Would you agree with that?
I would totally agree. To think that voter fraud can change the outcome of an election. We know we've seen it right here in the state of Missouri, at concrete evidence of voter fraud, and it actually changed the outcome of elections.
Yes.
And it is unconscionable to think that we're going to push these issues aside just to go along to get along. That's not unity. When we're discussing issues of this gravity and of this nature, of changing a nationwide outcome.
And let's take, for example, Missouri U.S. Senator Hawley's stand to not certify the Electoral College votes from Pennsylvania. Was this not done in a respectful manner? I don't recall Senator Hawley encouraging riots. I don't recall Senator Hawley urging Missourians or Americans from other states to storm the U.S. Capitol. I don't recall Senator Hawley suggesting that rallygoers remove crowd barriers, enter the Capitol, break windows, and are still kill and destroy. On the contrary, Senator Hawley followed Senate procedure, presented his case, mind you, the case hundreds of thousands of Missourians called upon him to represent or to present, and then he allowed the process to play out, all in compliance with Senate protocol, and all within the laws of the United States of America. If we take time to view the footage from the rally, we'll see that some pretty strange occurrences took place. One was a police escort of 5 shuttle buses, which according to on-site reports, was filled with Antifa members. Another showed law enforcement officers or someone dressed as law enforcement removing barricades and motioning the crowd to make their way past the barriers and progress toward the Capitol building. Another was a report of the shooting of an unarmed woman by a Capitol policeman. In fact, the video of the shooting was filmed by a man named John Sullivan. Later, this individual was linked to Antifa and Black Lives Matter. There are some reports saying the contrary, but that's what I have at the latest here. We must question why, in each of these instances, did this occur? As a result of the obvious ineptness of security officials in Washington, D.C., I submitted a letter to Missouri Attorney General Eric Schmidt. Here's the letter. In view of the fact that a number of Missouri residents inhabit, or from time to time, conduct business in Washington, D.C., Missouri has a vested interest in learning the reasons for the security breach at the U.S. Capitol. Specifically, because it was known well in advance of January 6, 2021, that the possibility of a significant size might gather, why was it such an obvious lack of security present? Why, as documented in video footage, did persons identified as law enforcement officers remove crowd barriers and direct the crowd or the public toward the U.S. Capitol building? And who was responsible for the seemingly coordinated police escort of five white passenger buses filled with suspected Antifa individuals? It's incumbent upon each of us to do our due diligence to make sure every possible effort to understand why the events unfolded in the manner in which they occurred. Today, technology exists which provide the necessary assistance to identify each individual involved, including law enforcement and state or federal officials. Evidence trails, including paper or electronic, may exist to determine what, if any, communication occurred between agents or agencies. If these trails do not exist, we must know why. Security protocols were either ignored or purposely bypassed in order for the noted breaches to occur. If this is the case, why? For the safety, future safety of Missourians who, out of necessity or choice, conduct business in our nation's capital, I ask you to take action to investigate the events which occurred on January 6, 2021 in Washington, D.C., and report your findings to the Missouri General Assembly post-haste. Now, the senator from St. Louis went on to say that these were Trump supporters. And again, no clarity on exactly who. Already, arrests have been made of people present at the rally who have been identified as Antifa members. And if the senator from the 4th was inferring that Trump supporters were present, I would agree, because I knew some. If the inference is that Trump supporters were the ones who broke glass and damaged property, this needs to be investigated, and those responsible must be charged. Would you agree with that?
I would agree.
Recently, reports surfaced which include Sullivan as an independent operator. Black Lives Matter protests were rampant with vandalism and looting following the death of George Floyd at the hands of the Minneapolis police. The cost to the insurance industry amounted to more than any other violent demonstration in recent history. These protests took place in at least 140 U.S. cities across the country in the spring of 2020, resulting in a $1 to $2 billion of paid insurance claims as a result of arson, vandalism, and looting. St. Louis rallies are riots, complete with Molotov cocktails, broken glass, and businesses damaged over that time, too. And here's a brief rundown of some of the reports. 3:30 a.m., Ferguson. St. Louis County Police report making six arrests from late Sunday into early morning Monday in Ferguson. Police say two officers suffered minor injuries. One was hit by fireworks, causing minor burns. The other was hit by a rock. Both officers were treated at the scene. One police car in Ferguson was damaged by a Molotov cocktail, and several Ferguson businesses were damaged, police said. 12:30 a.m., again in Ferguson, a dumpster fire burns for about 10 minutes near a laundromat in the 700 block of South Forestland Avenue, or road. Firefighters eventually extinguished the flames. 10:25 p.m., still in Ferguson, police and protesters are clashing after protesters surrounded a car. Officers fired a second round of tear gas at protesters, St. Louis County Police said, and were investigating reports of shots fired at officers. Throngs of protesters fled as the tear gas was fired, but not before some of them suffered the effects of tear gas. I have probably two pages worth of incidents as reported by police. And if we're talking about apples and apples here, what happened in Washington, D.C., of course, we wouldn't have wished that to occur.
Right.
But these known events, riots or protests in our own state, is it okay? Because it's supporting a different
cause. Senator, this is what just really just I don't understand the hypocrisy in this whole argument. We all agree that what happened on January 6th at our nation's capital was a horrible event and should have never happened. But for months we had horrible events all over the place in which we had elected officials paying for bail of people who were burning, looting, stealing, committing crimes against, you know, fellow citizens, and nothing was said. It was actually encouraged and wanted just all over. And that's what I just don't understand, this hypocrisy of this level and escalation of the discouragement of what occurred a couple weeks ago versus what's happened over the past several months. At least be consistent in your argument that you don't want cities burned, looted, rioted, you know, city blocks taken over for weeks. What was it, Chaz or Chaz? Entire, six city blocks in Seattle taken hostage. That's a true insurrection, where they literally took over a police station, took over several buildings, set up barriers, armed security to keep people out. In my opinion, as a former military member, I would think that sounds more of an insurrection than people storming a building and then it's brought to a halt immediately, as which it should have. Which also brings to why we're, you know, what we're seeing today with the uptick of 25,000 National Guard members today at our nation's capital to protect from rioting, looting, and all these sorts of things. Why didn't the mayor of D.C., when already asked and encouraged by local law enforcement to beef up security, why wasn't that done? When you have hundreds of thousands of people that could be potential protesters, why would you not beef it up? Now look at the beef up, and there's nobody there. It's a ghost town in D.C. right now.
Yeah, that's a great point, and I don't have that answer, but I'm hoping that some answers will be revealed sometime soon. Now, to your point about Seattle, there was a man named Joe Pascual. He lives on the ground floor apartment right next to the boarded-up police precinct. And he feels safe during the day, he said, but takes shifts with his neighbors to keep watch at night. Some activists, he says, are showing up with guns to be volunteer security for Chaz in case of counter-protest. Now, this is the thing that really just blows my mind. Pascual really doesn't like to see the firearms. He stated, it definitely doesn't feel like we're living in the United States when we have people walking around with guns, protecting a small zone with a neighborhood, you know. Now, wait a minute. We employ police officers for the purpose of keeping the peace, and if they will arrive in time that we're in need, they might offer some protection, but there's no guarantee. I think the average response time is above 7 minutes today. And if you're in danger of your life against an armed individual, 30 seconds is about it. And so we can't rely on the police, but we cannot afford to defund them. We need the police protection as well. So I just remembered, though, these are some of the same folks who are pushing to defund the police. And just think about that for a minute. And this was included in this, a Black Lives Matter takeover. Back in Seattle, a man named Faisal Khan owns a coffee shop. He was being told by the news media and his own mayor that the protests in his hometown were peaceful, with a block party-like atmosphere. Well, he wasn't buying that.
Mostly peaceful, right?
I think you're right. But that was not what he saw through the windows of his Seattle coffee shop. He saw encampments overtaking sidewalks. He saw roving bands of masked protesters smashing windows and looting. Young white men wielding guns and would harangue customers as well as Mr. Khan himself. To get into his coffee shop, he'd sometimes have to seek the permission of self-appointed armed guards to cross a border that you mentioned they had set up. Of course, I've only highlighted a few of the peaceful protests. The senator from St. Louis went on to say that these were Trump supporters in Washington, D.C. Again, No clarity on who that might be. If the senator from the 4th was inferring that Trump supporters were present, I agree. If the inference is that Trump supporters were the ones who broke glass and damaged property, then there's certainly some question about that. At least one member of the General Assembly was present. In fact, it was stated that they were participating in the chaos in Washington, D.C. on January 6, 2021, and I question that. It was stated that there has been no outcry and no one has called them out for their presence at the rally, and no one has called them thugs. Who beat the officer with a flag? A claim that had been made that Trump supporters perpetrated these acts. Again, these claims must be investigated. Within the last 4 years, a Missouri senator called for the assassination of a sitting president. To be fair, the exact statement was, "I hope Trump is assassinated." That's... Is this not an incitement to violence? I think it absolutely is.
Absolutely.
Now, to the credit of the Democrat Party, Senate Minority Leader Gina Walsh issued a strong statement condemning the senator, and a House Democrat member called for a Senate Ethics Committee investigation. So I applaud that. I think that was the right thing to do. Was it enough? I don't know. One primary difference is that it was obvious who the violator in that particular case was. In the case of the D.C. protest, the investigation continues. Yet in the case of the sitting president, who was simply attempting to urge an investigation into the alleged voter fraud in Michigan, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, Georgia, Arizona, and Nevada, we all know the results of that effort. The courts simply would not hear the cases. Does that mean that there was nothing worth investigating? Nope, I don't think so. Consider the George Bush election. Remember the hanging chads? Remember those?
I do.
Significant time was investigated in the recounting of these ballots, all for the good of the people, to ensure election integrity, in hope of restoring and retaining the trust of the American people. Methinks whatever trust that our elections are fair and fraud-free has been flushed down the proverbial toilet. You know the old saying, it takes a lifetime to develop a good reputation and only a second to lose it? It's going to take a long time for Americans to trust elected officials and the results of elections again. And now, the U.S. House, under the direction of an absolute dictator, is attempting to impeach a president after he's left office. This act isn't the dumbest thing I've seen this particular person do, but at least for now, the thing that is the dumbest, I think, is her insistence on forbidding the use of certain words in House deliberations. You've heard these too, I think. You can't use chairman, father, mother, daughter, niece, he, she, himself, and herself, all those things.
You know, Senator, that, to break in real quick, that's so funny you bring that up, because the speaker in introducing that actually introduced herself as a grandmother and a wife, and it's
double
astounding,
standard.
The double standard that she introduced herself and then went to move for these rule adoptions.
Yeah.
It's astounding.
Yeah, and if we could play under the same rules, that would be good. Yeah. Apparently, some don't. Any word or reference to male or female makes me wonder, what's going on through people's minds? If we're no longer able to recognize the traits created by an intelligent creator, and I mean by that Jehovah God, I believe we share the same faith there.
You.
I'm just at a loss for words, but only for a moment. And then you have the idiotic attempt of inclusiveness in a prayer to open the 117th Congress by an alleged pastor, ending the prayer with the words amen and a women. Does this ordained pastor with a master's degree in divinity not yet understand the word amen simply means so be it? And to make matters worse, the so-called pastor gives honor to the monotheistic God, Brahma, a God known by many names, by many different faiths. Anyone who has ever read the scripture and knows this likely had the hair on their back standing straight up. The God of the Bible is the one true God. The scripture says he's a jealous God, not like the jealousy you see between a boyfriend and a girlfriend. But he created us in his image. He loves us so much that he will not and does not share honor with any other. God was jealous in the sense that he expects full devotion from us. He has the right to be jealous of it. After all, he created us and everything that we live in. When Moses went up on the mountain to receive the Ten Commandments from God, he was gone such a long time that the people thought he wasn't coming back. So you probably remember the story. They asked Moses' brother Aaron to create a god for them. He collected all their jewelry and crafted a golden calf. It was unwise for Aaron to do that. And you all may also remember the first of the Ten Commandments. The first one is, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." And the second is, "Thou shalt not make any graven images." And they violated both of them right there.
I think of the scene off of Charlton Heston coming down from Mount Sinai with the Ten Commandments in hand and throwing them at the people at that particular time.
Yes. Had this man, and I'm talking about the U.S. Congressman from Missouri, had he not even bothered to read the Missouri Constitution? If you look at the preamble, in our state constitution it says, "We, the people of Missouri, with profound reverence for the supreme ruler of the universe and grateful for his goodness, do establish this constitution for the better government of the state." The Israelites' actions were not very smart, and the actions by this Missouri congressman were not very smart either. The senator from St. Louis stated, "These are the same people who bomb black churches in the South." And I didn't make that connection. However, whatever the reference, anyone who acts out in violence toward another, unless they're attempting to protect themselves, their family, or their property, or that of another person, must be held accountable for their actions. I question how the senator from St. Louis knows the statement about the bombings to be fact. Perhaps there needs to be investigation in that too. The senator from St. Louis wanted an outcry. And although I didn't understand all of what she was saying at the time it was spoken, when I listened to the audio recording, I believe what I heard was an outcry. She voiced it. The senator from St. Louis wants to see resolutions calling for the removal of the president who staged an attack. The senator from the 4th has had ample opportunity to present those very resolutions. I don't know anyone who has praised the acts of those who took it upon themselves to deface the Capitol and to damage property. Those acts, I believe, we will all agree, were wrong. However, time will tell who is to be held responsible for these acts. As for Missouri Attorney General Eric Schmidt attempting to overturn an election, I beg to differ. He did no such thing. Attorney General Schmidt merely called for the investigation of the several states' election processes. I hope we would all agree that when there is suspicion that an election is tainted, an investigation should be undertaken to ascertain whether or not the proper procedure was followed. Unfortunately, this didn't take place, at least in those six states, and as a result, tens of millions of Americans believe the election was not fair. As for Missouri Senator Josh Hawley objecting to the certification of electoral votes cast from the state of Pennsylvania, he took a lot of heat from other Republicans, so-called conservative Republicans, because of his objection took place after the Capitol was breached up by Antifa. Senator Hawley's intent was not to overturn the election. It was an attempt to force debate on the alleged voter fraud and election irregularities. This begs the question. If your constituent urges you to take a particular stand, when it comes time to voice your position, an event which makes national headlines occurs, should you stand down because someone may cast you as an instigator? That's really a rhetorical question, but I think the answer between both of us and all of us here will be no. We would stand firm on what we promised to do.
That's exactly right. That's our charge. That's so funny that on my desk today is my oath of office that I sign. You know, and the senator swore an oath to protect and defend the Constitution as written. And it is our duty to, if we feel the Constitution and our constitutional republic is being undermined, it is our job to call into question those actions.
Absolutely.
And to think that, you know, first, yes, these six states should have absolutely done their job, and they failed to do so. But we also had courts that refused, as you spoke to, that refused to hear these cases. even though we had thousands of affidavits that you know, testified under threat of perjury, testified to what they saw firsthand. We saw one thing that I learned in football that my coach used to say is the eye in the sky doesn't lie. You know, when they record what you do on the field, I mean, you can't refute it. I mean, we literally saw ballots after they ran the poll watchers out of the building from a overrun urinal, pulling ballots out from underneath a table.
Wasn't that a water line break?
A water line. It was a water line main break. But, yeah, I guess to be suspect. But to think of all these irregularities, yes, it is suspect. And it is rational for people to question the validity of these delegates. And to think that, you know, back in 2001, you bring up the Chads with the Gore versus Bush. It was a substantial amount of Democrats did this exact same thing, objected to the delegates. There wasn't, this wasn't an insurrection. This is the constitutional mandate. If you feel wrong being committed, you stand to try to challenge that wrong.
Consistency.
The consistency.
That's
that is
right.
All that I ask. You know, I love this room. It's amazing, the splendor. And it says, nothing is politically right that is morally wrong. And being, hypocritical and not consistent in your beliefs and your stances is morally wrong.
I agree. Another point here addressed during the inquiry by the senator from the 9th was that we should be fair in how we look at our protesters.
We have three senators standing. Senator from Andrew.
Mr. President, what order of business are we on right now?
We are in between, getting ready for introduction of guests.
We haven't done introduction of guests.
We have not done introduction of guests. We have read and approved the journal.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. President.
Sorry, senators. Please continue.
The point about... we should be fair in how we looked at protesters. Of course, the right to peaceably assemble is protected by the First Amendment, and this right must be protected, so I agree with that. I recall during the early summer of 2020, I was asked about the protests occurring across the country. The question was specifically about protesters who damaged property and then proceeded to break the law in other ways. My response at that time, and it still is the same today, was that the right to peaceably assemble must be protected. However, when the law is broken, the perpetrators must be held accountable for their actions. The law does not protect lawbreakers, or at least it shouldn't protect lawbreakers. As for enhanced crimes and a resulting enhanced punishment, I'm vehemently opposed. If we would enforce current laws, there'd be no need for stiffer penalties. This call for a rally to support President Trump was publicly known for some time before January 6, 2020. Or 2021. There was sufficient time for law enforcement to prepare for the rally. It's beyond comprehension to think that Capitol Police and others were caught off guard. And for that reason, I asked Missouri Attorney General Schmidt to investigate. I've been told that the Senate is a deliberate body. And in that light, we should be slow, not jumping to conclusions. We should be cautious in our speech and our actions. My hope, as I trust is each of ours, is that in the coming days and months, we will seek the truth from the supreme ruler of the universe. And as we seek that truth, we will be reasonable as we reach our conclusions. And in doing so, Missouri will prosper. And we will set an example for the other several states to follow. Thank you for the inquiry.
Thank you, Jim.
Thank you, Mr. President.
The next order of business is introduction of guests. Introduction of special guests. Petitions, memorials, and remonstrances. Resolutions. Concurrent resolutions. Senator from St. Charles.
I have a concurrent resolution.
Please send that concurrent resolution forward. Madam Secretary, please read the concurrent resolution. Madam Secretary, please read the resolution.
Senate Concurrent Resolution Number 5, whereas Article 1 of the United States Constitution begins, quote, all legislative powers herein granted shall be vested in a Congress, end quote.
The resolution shall be printed in the journal. Concurrent resolutions. Introduction of bills. Senator from Cass.
I have two bills. No explanation needed.
Please send them forward. Madam Secretary, please read the first bill.
Senate Bill Number 395, introduced by Senator Bratton, an act relating to inmate charges for medical treatment at correctional facilities.
Madam Secretary, please read the second bill.
Senate Bill Number 396, introduced by Senator Bratton, an act relating to historic cemeteries.
Senator from Cass, would you like to explain the bills?
No explanation.
All right. Introduction of bills. Senator from Scott.
I have a bill, and I'd like to send it forward.
Please send that bill forward. Madam Secretary, please read the bill.
Senate Bill Number 397, introduced by Senator Rader, an act relating to statewide missions of institutions of higher education.
Senator from Scott, would you like to explain your bill?
No explanation needed.
Thank you, Senator. Introduction of bills. The Senator from the 23rd was the first audible.
Thank you, Mr. President. Thank you, Mr. President. Thank you. I have two bills.
Please send your bills forward.
Thank you, Mr. President. No explanation is required.
Madam Secretary, please read the first bill.
Senate Bill Number 398, introduced by Senator Igel, an act relating to prohibited uses of public funds.
Madam Secretary, please read the second bill.
Senate Bill number 399, introduced by Senator Igel, an act relating to ballot titles for proposed ballot measures prepared by the General Assembly.
Introduction of bills. Senator from the second, I believe you will have bill number 400.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have four bills.
Please send those four bills forward. Madam Secretary, please read the first bill.
Senate Bill number 400, introduced by Senator Onder, an act relating to the accreditation of public schools and school districts.
Senator, would you like to explain the bill?
No explanation necessary, Mr. President.
Thank you, Madam Secretary. Please read the second bill.
Senate Bill number 401, introduced by Senator Onder, an act relating to payments for health care services.
Senator, would you like to explain the bill?
No explanation necessary.
Thank you, Senator. Madam Secretary, please read the third bill.
Senate Bill number 402, introduced by Senator Onder, an act relating to forfeiture by wrongdoing.
Senator, would you like to explain the bill?
No explanation necessary.
Thank you, Senator. Madam Secretary, please read the fourth bill.
Senate Bill number 403, introduced by Senator Onder, an act relating to health care.
Senator, would you like to explain the bill?
No explanation necessary.
Thank you, Senator. Introduction of bills. Introduction of bills. Seeing none, Senator from Boone.
Thank you, Mr. President. Without objection, the Senate will go to the order of business of announcements.
Hearing no objection, the Senate will go to the order of business of announcements. Announcements. Hearing none, Senator from Boone.
Thank you, Mr. President. No further business coming before the body. I move that the Senate stand adjourned under the rules.
Senator from Boone has moved the Senate will stand adjourned under the rules. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say nay. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The Senate stands adjourned under the rules.